Open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verse 6 to 9. Luke chapter 13, 6 to 9. I will read it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put a manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, ye can cut it down." Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we now come to that central part of our Christian life, which is the hearing of your holy word. And as we open our ears to hear your voice, the voice of our Heavenly Father, through the preaching of your word, we ask you to give us your grace so that we would give our undivided attention to the proclamation of your word. Grant us your Holy Spirit to humble ourselves before you, and not only hear the preaching of your word, but with your help, to apply it in our own life, even as we sit under the preaching and the teaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Whenever we read and meditate on this parable, the parable of the barren fig tree, there is one important question that we always need to ask ourselves. And the question is this: why did God give us the gospel privileges? All the gospel privileges, all the gospel benefits that we have in Christ Jesus, our election, our regeneration, our justification, our sanctification, our adoption, our preservation and glorification. Why did God give us all these privileges, all these riches that we have in Christ Jesus in our Christian life? The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 would tell you that the purpose of God, why God elected us and why he adopted us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, is so that we would be conformed to the image and the likeness of his Son Jesus Christ, and that for his glory. And we all know that our sanctification is a process, but it's also a process so that we would bear fruit for God's kingdom. So from our text this afternoon, I would like us to learn one important lesson from this parable. And the lesson is this: the gospel privileges are meant for gospel fruit. In our parable, you see, we learn three important lessons. The first one is the expectation of the owner of the tree. And the second one is the judgment of the owner upon the tree. And then the third lesson that you can learn for your Christian life is this: the plea of the vine dresser on behalf of the fig tree. So first, let's look into the first lesson, which is the expectation of the owner of the fig tree. Verse 6. And he told this parable, a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. You know, it's very natural for someone who has planted a tree and he had invested all kinds of work and labor to make sure that his plant, his tree, has been planted in a good soil and has got all the necessary supplies that it needs to grow and expect fruit from it. That should remind you what God said about the nation Israel in Isaiah chapter 5. Remember what God did for the people of Israel. He delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh, from exile, from the bondage of the Egyptians. But the psalmist in Psalm 80, verse 8 and 9 tells us this: you brought a vine out of Egypt, you drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, it took deep roots and filled the land. You see, God delivered the people of Israel from that wild soil in Egypt. He didn't deliver them only from slavery, but he also delivered them from the false gods in Egypt. And his purpose was to deliver them from Egypt and plant them in himself. Plant them in the temple of God, which is the picture of his son Jesus Christ, so that they will be the dwelling place of God in Christ Jesus. But God comes to Israel, to the nation Israel, seeking for fruit. And Isaiah chapter 5 would tell you he didn't find any fruit in the life of the Israelites who were his vineyard. Instead, they returned fruit to him. What they returned to God was wickedness, idolatry, disobedience. They broke his law and they followed after other false gods. Israel didn't bear fruit for God. And in the same way, you see, this owner of this fig tree, after he planted it, after he gave all his time and labor for the growth of this vineyard, he came to his tree seeking for fruit, and there was no fruit. In John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, it is that bears much fruit." You see, the gospel privilege is for fruits. And this owner comes to his tree seeking for fruit, and there was no fruit. Jesus said, "By their fruit you will recognize them. By their fruit you will know them." They are not only branches that seems connected to the vine, but they have been united with me by faith, and they bear fruit in my kingdom. But you know, after 3 years, the owner comes back to his vineyard, to his tree, and he finds no fruit. Think about your privileges in salvation, my brothers and my sister. Remember how God delivered you from sin. Remember your former life and how God lavished his grace, his mercy, his loving kindness upon you. How God united you with his son Jesus Christ by faith. How many years you have been planted in the church of Jesus Christ. How many years you have been sitting under the instruction and the preaching of the word of God. How many times you have partaken the Lord's Supper. Your spiritual nourishment in Christ Jesus. So that you would go out and bear fruit for God's kingdom, if Jesus would come to each and every one of us today, what would he say about you as his tree, as his vineyard? We can think of the church collectively. You can also think about your own individual Christian life. If Jesus would come to you seeking for fruit because he had labored in you, he planted you in his riches, in his graces, would he find fruit in you? Are you bearing fruit for God? And what are these fruit? These fruit are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Joy, faith, love, patience, self-control, godliness. Is that what people see in your life as a minister of the gospel, as a seminary student, preparing yourself for ministry, as a Christian wife? Is that what Christ would find in us if he comes to us to do inspection in your Christian life, in your Christian walk, as his tree? So the owner comes and there was no fruit. And the question, my question to all of us this afternoon is, are you bearing fruit for your King and Savior Jesus Christ? And secondly, we see the judgment of the owner on the fig tree. Verse 7. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" If you plant a fig tree, at least you will need about 3 years for you to see fruit in that fig tree. So he comes after 3 years. After 3 years of feeding and giving nourishment to this fig tree, he comes seeking for fruit. And there was no fruit. There was none. And then comes, you see, his judgment. And he said to the vine dresser, "Cut it down, because I see no fruit in this tree." Now, notice carefully, the time that was taken to cultivate the fig tree and the judgment that's going to come upon this tree in a few moments. You see, this tree is about to destroy, to be destroyed by the owner. And two important lessons from this. First, the judgment, you see, is taking place in the vineyard. It's not taking place outside of the vineyard, okay? Unbelievers will be judged by God. Unbelievers, if they don't repent, if they don't come back to Christ, with the saving knowledge of the Son of God, they will be condemned, they will be judged. But also the Apostle Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 4:17, judgment will begin in the house of the Lord. 1 Peter 4:17, for it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. Why is that? Because, you see, in the vineyard, in the church, there is hypocrisy. In the church, there is false confessions. In the church, there is outward religious life that doesn't honor God. You see, whenever you stand in the pulpit, in the vineyard of God, in the church, you preach against hypocrisy, false confessions. You see, you call people to repentance. You call people to self-examination. When you administer the Lord's Supper, you call upon God's people to exercise self-examination. And this is the purpose, so that they would bear fruits for God and His kingdom. But you see, the judgment is taking place in the vineyard. And the second lesson is this: the tree which does not bear fruit will be cut off by the axe of the owner. If there is no fruit in the life of this tree, it will be cut off. John 15:6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into fire and burned. You see, Jesus knows his own branch. Jesus knows the true branch and the false branch. And he's going to separate them. So you see, you don't need to be near to the vine, but you need to be in the vine. If you are just near to the vine and you are not bearing fruit, and then the owner will come and remove you. At the final judgment, or now, by death, or by providential hindrances, you can be removed from around the vine, because you are a false branch. You see, we need to pray. You see, you always need to pray about your own Christian life, that you are indeed in the branch, not merely near to the branch. You see, sometimes we presume on our election too much and neglect our Christian responsibility to bear fruit. Election and our responsibility, they go together. You see, man's responsibility must not be overemphasized to neglect of God's sovereignty. But also God's sovereignty must not be overemphasized to neglect man's responsibility. God has given us a responsibility to bear fruit for His glory. It doesn't mean, you see, that God is going to fail us. It doesn't mean that. But He planted us in His Son, Jesus Christ, so that we, by His grace, depending on His grace, would bear fruit for His kingdom. You see, that's why our preaching needs to be Christ-centered. That's why our sermons should call the people of God, even those people of God who are in the vineyard, in the church, to repentance. That's the purpose why we preach Christ, repentance, and faith. And certainly, you see, after the owner pronounces his judgment on the tree, and he tells the vine dresser, cut it down, because it's not bearing fruit. And then the vine dresser says this in verse 8. And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put a manure. Then it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." Now we see the vine dresser pleading with the owner on behalf of the barren fig tree. And this is a wonderful picture of Christ, who is the mediator between God and man. This is the picture of your high priest. Think about all your weaknesses, all the sins that you commit, being a believer, being in Christ Jesus. But you are not consumed. You're not perishing. And let me challenge you with these words. Every day in your life, you receive new day as a gift from God. Even this day is a gift from God. But you leave your bed and you come to your daily routine, do you pause and remind yourself, this is an opportunity. God has extended my years with one more day so that I would reflect on my Christian life and I would reflect on the kind of fruit that I'm bearing for Him. But this is the result of the intercessory ministry of your high priest, Jesus Christ. The reason why you are breathing, the reason why you are sitting in your classes to continue your theological studies, is the outcome of Christ's ministry to you, your high priest. Just imagine, you see heaven being without your high priest, standing before His Father, interceding on your behalf. You would not be here today. And that's what taking place here. One more year. You see, notice that phrase. And He answered Himself, let it alone this year also. That phrase also, you see, shows you that, you know, other years has been passed. That this victory was under the care of the vine dresser, but there was no fruit. But now, the vine dresser is interceding on behalf of the victory. And He's saying this. He's not only, you see, intercessor. He's also a servant. He doesn't only plead to the Father on your behalf, but He continues to work in you. And this is what He's saying. Until I dig around it and put on a manure, then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. It didn't take much for the vine dresser to convince the owner. The Father honors the work of the Son. He said, yes, Son, keep working on this victory. If you are a pastor and you are still preaching, you are using the years that God has extended for the people under your care. You are laboring in their lives to bring them to this stage so that they will bear fruit. And that's the ministry of Christ through His under shepherds. It's not us who stands in the pulpit. It is Christ who stands in the pulpit, but He uses us to continue His love and His ministry and His work in the life of all the branches in the vineyard, in the vine, in Him. Don't underestimate your ministry. You represent Christ in the pulpit. And you represent Christ in the pulpit, you see, to use, to seize that opportunity that God has given you and God has given to the people under your ministry, the extended, you see, opportunity. So that you would save the branches for them to come back to God in repentance and bear fruit. But let me remind you one fact here. Because the servant, the son, the high priest said, if it should bear fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down. You see, the intercessor, the high priest, is not going to plead with his Father forever. One time, grace will come to an end. And it will be a day of judgment. The Father and the Son here are telling us there will be a limit of time. And the owner will judge. And the son said to the father, you see, but if not, you can cut it down. I'm not going to intercede. I'm not going to plead. So judgment is imminent here. There would be judgment there. But this is the hope that we have in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. Where does your fruitfulness come from? Is this about work? No. This is about grace. And your fruitfulness comes from God. Hosea 14:8. Listen to the word of God. O Ephraim, what have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you. I am like an evergreen cypress. From me comes your fruit. What is this fruit? Remember, Christ being crucified on the cross, the axe of the owner was upon him, so that he would become your fruit, the fruit of your righteousness. He was the object of the wrath of God. The axe of the owner, his own father, was upon him. He died for you. He took your place. He became your substitute, so that the axe of the owner would come upon him. And you would receive his righteousness. That his righteousness would be imputed on you by faith. And it becomes your fruit. But how do you obtain this fruit in your life? Well, Jesus, in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, said this, and this is, you see, the way that you bear fruit. My brothers and my sister, John 15:7-8. Jesus said this, you abide in me and my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. How do you get fruit? By prayer. You ask. You ask. How often do you set a time in your life as a student, as a pastor, as a professor, and just pray for fruit? For fruit. I'm not talking about intellectual fruit. I'm not talking about bearing fruit as husband and wife. I'm talking about spiritual fruit. Those fruits of the Holy Spirit to flow from your life. How often do you pray for that? Jesus said, ask. He also said, and then you will bear this fruit? No, much fruit. And then what? And then people will know you are truly my disciple by their fruit. You will know them. I would encourage you, if you forget, you know, most of the things that I said today, but I would ask you just to remember this. If you don't have the time in your schedule, in your life, where you pray for fruit, start to do with that as of today. Set a time in your life where you always pray not to be a barren fruit, a barren tree in God's vineyard. And God has given us a means of grace, prayer. Go to Him in prayer. Ask Him for fruit, and He will become your fruit. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, after hearing your word being preached to us, we want to acknowledge our own weakness. We want to confess our sins before you because we haven't bear much fruit for you. But we also want to thank you for your Son Jesus Christ, our High Priest, because of whom we are not perished. Thank you for his ministry to each and every one of us. The one who ever lives interceding on our behalf. Thank you for his love. Thank you for his death, for his resurrection, and the righteousness that we have in our life through him by faith. Help us to put our focus now on prayer, especially prayer for fruit, and bless us with all the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our Christian life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.